Okay. So everyone, welcome to a phenomenal, this is, I can officially now say, I am in the presence of a brilliant soul, who I'm just really grateful to have had the honor of interviewing previously. Story time, quick story. The problem was that I didn't hit the record button. I thought that I selected that prior to sending the link, but she did not record, and my spirit was fully broken. I was devastated. I'll have to tell you. I'll be honest.
It was for our eyes only. You know, they weren't ready for it.
Oh, such phenomenal conversation. And like, yes, I'll keep it here. I'll do like Prince told Beyonce when everyone was looking for the Formation Tour DVD. They'll have it in here. Like, my spirit. So. Everyone, I am so honored to once again have here Plato the Third. Are your pronouns? What are your pronouns? I'm going to make sure I get those correct.
It's our he, him.
Okay. Okay. Well, I can tell you all are in for a treat because, like I said, we've had this interview prior, and I you're a friend in my head. I just can't even front. Like I just. You're just one of those folks. I love that you have that magnetic energy through like the screen. Like, so thank you for bringing that energy here and just joining us back here. My name is Britton with the numbers. I'm the music content coordinator, if I didn't say that. And once again, we have Plato the Third. So everybody give a round of applause.
Speaking of energy, you know, it's always great to be back. I'm glad we get to chat again now that Rap Shit is officially released.
I know. I know.
Conversation last time, I'm talking Insecure. So actually, I haven't seen the pilot yet.
Okay.
I'm sure you have.
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it four times now. No.
Did they only release one, or did they do the whole season?
They have two episodes. Yeah. And okay, since we're going there.
Yeah.
You want to start? We shared an amazing love for Insecure, and Plato is Reggie Hive, apparently, and Reggie meaning Lawrence.
Oh, I thought that was the one thing we could improve from the last one. I got Lawrence's name mixed up.
I honestly thought it was like copyright stuff, so I was like, oh, well, maybe you're just using a different name or something. Like, it's
some,
cool.
Yeah, that was some LA industry stuff. You wasn't even ready.
No. I know. But I did watch it, and I have to be honest with you. Like, it's great, good writing. You can tell when
I can hear your voice. I can already hear you. He's hurt.
I was hurt. Yeah. I need to let the season ride out. I need to see the rest of it. I don't want to do any comparisons, but like, I just can't help but feel my need and desire for Insecure when I watch this. I'm just like, ah. Just
I'm trying to remember, was Insecure an instant feeling? I feel like it was, but you know, that was like 5 years ago now. But I think it was. I just can't imagine not loving it from the jump. You know?
I loved it from the jump because I was like, you're speaking to me.
Yeah.
Like, I need you. We need each other. We see each other. Oh.
Yeah, so I don't like to let these streaming companies get me, you know, so I'll do like one at a time. So this month I'm not paying HBO. I'm on my what am I paying this month? Oh, Apple Plus.
Check okay.
Watch everything in a month, and then next week or next month I'll get the HBO. So I haven't seen Rap Shit yet. I gotta wait for my Apple Plus to expire.
I would love for you if we can do a little DM conversation once you see it. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Like, and maybe we need to set up another interview for that. I don't know. But I want to, it's hot boots out here in Portland, Oregon. Like, honestly, before we started this interview, I had literally just said to my director, I was like, I'm tired as hell. Like, I'm so tired because it's so hot.
How hot?
It's about today's 102, 103. I know that's light work compared to like.
Nah, it's not because, I mean, old Texas, but I haven't been in Texas in a while. But yeah, L.A., it's true what they say about the weather. I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. You just can't go outside.
Vegas is scorching.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I'm just like, why I don't use no solar panels out here? Like, why? Like, you got all the resources you need to just make that solar panel stuff happen.
If any, yeah, if anybody was doing solar panels, you would think it was them. Maybe it's too hot for the solar panels. I don't really know. Maybe it'll burn the panels. It's too hot for anything.
I don't know, child. I hope you're staying hydrated. I hope everyone you know and love is staying hydrated. But that heat is bringing me to now the title of your newest piece of work called The Devil Has Texas.
And I guess The Devil Has Portland this week, at least.
Okay, catch it. Now, yeah. Before we go into that question, I'm curious to know, what's bringing you joy today?
You know what? So I'm fresh. Right before we was doing this, I was cutting up some new tunes. So I hopped in the studio for the first time since the album dropped, I guess, last week. It's a couple freestyles, you know, a little light work, but it sounds good. And it's just fun to be playing, you know, with some music again. So
a little gentle
flex. Same old, you know, little some sounds, you know, some sounds and some vibes.
And that's what's bringing you some joy today, is that you kind of, and you felt a flow of energy when in that creation process, like it felt like right for you. Cause I remember the last time we talked, you were just like, you kind of work with the feeling and how it arrives and how it comes to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That time, you know, I had some, it's a friend of mine, his beat, he kind of does this, I don't know if you up on this, but it's like lo-fi hip hop. It's kind of yes. Like people study to now, or if they don't want to hear lyrics, it's on this lo-fi hip hop community.
Yes.
He makes those beats like no lyrics, but you know, they're chill and they kind of bring out some of my I guess more introspective rhymes. So I rapped on one of his and yeah, just trying to play with it a little bit, make it a little bit more hip hop. But yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully I can release that sometime in the next couple months.
Okay. Well, looking, I'm pointing to my finger in the center of my palm, everyone. Definitely looking forward to that because, I'm glad that's bringing you so much joy. It's really awesome to hear that your creative process is moving, you know, however, whatever the pace is, I think that's brilliant. Congratulations on that inspo. I do want to just gravitate back to that initial question though, is like, where did that title come from?
Yeah, so you know, one, you know, it's hot as hell in Texas. You know, so it was always easy to make that connection. But there's this Daniel Johnston song. It's called "Spirit World Rising," and he's like a kind of a niche singer songwriter from Austin, Texas. That there was this whole documentary about him. It was called "The Devil and Daniel Johnston." I think like Lana Del Rey and Mac Miller helped get that funded. Anyway, when I lived in Austin, I got to know him, his work and his music. And apparently, you know, he dealt with some mental health issues, and it all kind of stemmed from when he graduated high school and he moved to Abilene, the town I'm from. Mm-hmm. He got there, kind of had a bad acid trip, and it was never the same. And he wrote about his time there, and he said, "I have been to Abilene, the devil has Texas."
Oh.
And so someone from a town that not many people know about, I was trying to figure out, all right, how do I make this album about where I'm from and kind of introduce people to this part of the world they might not know. And so the intro of the album is actually covering that Daniel Johnston song, "Spirit World Rising." I add a little rap verse in there. But yeah, I just kind of want to set the stage with a song that might be one of the few that have ever talked about Abilene. We don't really have many pop culture relevant facts. It's kind of that. And, you know, we had the highest voting turnout for Donald Trump in the 2020 election. So I'd say that's infamous, you know, but yeah, we're not known for good things.
Okay. Is that one of the reasons why you kind of maybe left Abilene? Like, what, did you feel unsafe and you needed, it was time to get out of there?
Yeah. So I left 2011. So I left a while before that, but it's that same sort of energy. It's just an interesting place where it's kind of got these hyper conservative values. And there is a large, you know, African American population, minority population. But it's all kind of separated in this way that, you know,
there is segregation.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted some opportunity. We were actually like 3.5 hours out of any major town. So like we didn't really get people coming in to do shows. Mm. You know, people rarely came out. And my mom didn't want to travel 3.5 hours on the weekend, you know, just right. to go to see a show or something. So yeah, you just kind of feel like you're in the middle of nowhere and kind of desolate and desperate. So yeah, I was hungry for more. Wanted to see what the world had to offer. My first step was Austin, and then ultimately came out to LA to.
Is Abilene historically, is that historically, like, what's its history? Is its history rooted with Black people or Black and brown people, or is it?
No, it was, so historically, for talking, you mentioned segregation, I believe it was the last city to end segregation. There's something on Wikipedia about that. I think it was like 70s, and it might not be early 70s.
Okay.
And and then also it's known, along with Nashville, they call it the Bible of the Buckle, the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Because there's more churches per square mile than anywhere in America. I don't know if that's still true, but it was there. So it's a weird thing where you're surrounded by religion and God and these things that should be giving you hope and faith. Yeah. But what you see is kind of like poverty and real struggle in this weird. And I think that's that as I've traveled, that's the case around all of the world where this idea of like religion and God, it's not necessarily tied to a better lifestyle or
right.
I would say goodness or
a little rooted in oppression.
Yeah, plentiful opportunity.
For abundant.
Everybody. Yeah.
Lack of abundance. Like, opulence.
To wrap it all, Devil Has Sex, I wanted to tie on that. And then also, if I had to talk about Abilene, I had to talk about religion. So, you know, I think the album's me still wrestling with like where I'm from, how religion falls into that, how poverty falls into that, and how those two kind of coincide.
You're really rooted. I did a deep dive into you and your work, as we had in the last conversation. And so, I mean, I really get a sense of your connection to your roots, you know, and it's got to be a bit. It's like I commend you, but I also recognize that that's where you're from and that is where you draw, where you begin your journey. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I commend you for drawing on that, getting out of that space, thriving in your creativity as it comes to you. But even in your earlier music, I could tell that you had a deep connection to those roots. Even and again, I don't know why I did this again, but that video where I talked about where you had the man bun, it's called Love, right? That song was called Love?
No Love.
It was called No Love. Yeah, I had a sense of like legitimacy and authenticity from that video. I loved the man bun. I know we had conversation about this, but
that was an era.
Yes, yes.
I went home to shoot a video. You know, I couldn't find my old braider. My hair braider wasn't in town no more, so I was up the creek without a paddle, as they say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to rock the man bun, still shoot the video. But yeah, No Love. That was still wrestling with the same thing. Just had a few homies from back home that was still there. Trying to do a low budget, you know, music video.
Okay. You know, and another question I didn't get to ask you the last time was because I referenced Woman, that was another track that I absolutely loved. And I was curious, is the person in that video actually pregnant?
She was. Okay. Yeah, so we were looking for a pregnant woman, ideally. We know that would be difficult. I had a whole different vision for the video initially. But we found Raven was her name. Okay. She was also a dancer.
Shout out to Raven. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to ask.
She was a dancer. She was pregnant. And I didn't initially see dance in the video, but she was like, you know, that's what I do. And even though I think she was 6 or 7 months pregnant at the time, she was like, I want to dance up in here too. So it was really, you know, it was kind of the perfect person for that video and to tell that story. You know, we also...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said we also gave her this, you know, this video that she can always hold. You know, it's almost like a really nice maternity photo shoot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it was just her the entire video, right? Because you weren't in that.
No, I wasn't in that one.
It was primo. It was so brilliant. The cinematography of it, like the the close shots, the panning forwards, and just her movement quality, such an astounding visual. Like, I loved that. I love the song. I love the opening of that video and the saying that's in the front. I connected very deeply to that. And I just really wanted to tell you that, like, beautiful choices, beautiful gown. We loved it. The choreo, the inspo, it was all there. And I love the location.
Yeah, thank you, Brittany. Yeah, that was back in Austin, directed by Erica Silverman, who actually I got the link back up with on this album. She directed the Give 'Em Hell video. It's All Right, It's Okay, that whole sort of 6-minute video that I premiered with. So, yeah, that I'm so glad that video exists and I made that relationship. And then as soon as I had a video to do for this, I called her back and said, hey, I'm coming back to Texas, you know.
Continuing on with the Double Has Texas, one of the things I love, I'm literally a track listener from beginning to end for this album. Like, it's a journey. It's an experience. You're getting shifted. I'm personally getting shifted in different dimensions. And how that album starts and the journey sonically is not, no expectations for this album, right? It's just like, don't think that you've got a lock on what this album is going to be from track to track. It's just it's super cohesive, super melodic, super dissonant, super alternative, super R&B, super rap, super classical. There's a gift in this album where there is a tie-in of so many elements, and in normally too many elements is too much, but there's a way that this was all weaved together that gives it such a fullness and enriching experience. Like I told you, the songs for me, I'm gonna go through them. The songs for me that really just the whole album caught my spirit. But It's All Right, It's Okay, Holiday, Heaven, Summon the Bass God, Ouroboros, and Sorry If I Dissed You. Like, I mean, that's practically the whole album. That opener is a slay. That opener is a slay. And I just, because I remember, I was like, I don't know what I'm fitting to listen to. But then, I was so, like I said, I was transitioned to another layer of just sound through each album. And it's just such an, through each track. And it's just such an experience. I feel like saying track is disrespectful. Each energetic presentation. I don't know.
Gas me up, Brittany.
I'm gonna boost you. I'm just gonna boost you because I'm not somebody that's gonna like sugarcoat this. Like I appreciate the artistry and the authenticity. So, where does that come from? It's because it gives me. I know you worked with. Did you work with a lot of folks? I don't think you worked with that many folks.
A lot of folks from back home. So it was me and one other producer mainly messing with the music and the composition. And I wrote the lyrics myself. But it was just me and my friend from back home. We went to a studio, kind of knocked these out. And then there are a lot of features on there. So I'd send the tracks back home to artists in Abilene. Because I just felt like I was telling my story. But if I wanted to tell the full story, I needed different perspectives. You know, from my city, I grew up one way. But other people grew up different ways, but I think all come together, we can really give a representation of what the town is about, which is my whole goal. I think I said this last time, where for me, every time I make a song, is trying to do something that I didn't do on the last one, do something new. And so ultimately, if I do that, I feel like maybe I'll do something that nobody's done before, because I'm trying to do something new every time. And that was the goal. You know, it's hard for me to make the same song twice. You do want to make it cohesive, though, to your point.
Yeah.
Throwing all these things in. And so the cohesion here was like, you know, let's try to make them all guitar bass and start with the guitar. And so maybe they'll all kind of feel the same. And if I am working with one primary musician, then hopefully that'll transfer over to that cohesion. So, hopefully we achieve that and still kept it interesting, though, along the way.
Brilliant. I love listening to doing that deep dive. I just have loved the continuation of evolution in your sound and the exploration in an industry where I feel like there's a little piece. I mean, now that you can literally like put your own, you can be independent. You can put your own stuff out there. You can be more explorative, or you can explore more. Like, yes, and experimental. Like, but I feel like there's those old traditional industry ways that try to get you out of that. You know, like talking about people. I was listening to something this morning where they're saying Division came out with this new song, If I Get Caught. And they were saying, like, I've been listening to Division from the jump. Give me old Division, OVO Division, all of that all day. I love the Muse album. I love that remake of Your Sex Is on Fire. That whole Division and Ty Dolla $ign album. But then people were saying, like, oh, well, you know, people weren't noticing me before. But now I made, like, a little toxic song and everybody's got their eyes on me. So, like, I'm saying it's just, like, I love that, like, you maintain the integrity is not the word, because it's not. I love that you maintain, like, it doesn't feel like you're like, I gotta do this in order to gain momentum, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's fine.
I brought it for me if I did.
Yeah. If you do a hands on the knees,
pop it, pop it. Always in the back pocket. You know, I'll pull it out if I got to.
If you pull out a pop and bop, I'm down.
You're down for it.
I'm in. I'm just saying, like,
all times. Yeah, there's a place for everything.
It's a place.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing a summer camp this summer just to get paid doing this this with these kids. I think like 2 to 6 year olds, just going in and coaching them up. And it's me and this other coach. And he was giving me a ride for the first time today. He was like, you know, what you listen to? Who's your favorite artist? Whatever. I was like, you know, probably Frank Ocean these days. And, you know, he was like, oh, Drake, you know. And then he's like, you heard this Jack Harlow Drake song. And he's playing for me. And he told me he had checked some of my stuff out. And so this was kind of a moment where I'm listening to what he listens to. And I'm like, what song do I have that fits into these certain vibes, you know, a certain mood? And I am, I think one of the, maybe the consequences is of going so experimental. I was like, when music is such a casual listen for a lot of people, you know, it's just wanting something to vibe to in the back or whatever, you know, what my music necessarily, I don't know if it fits there. So I have been thinking about that more and more, like making sure that maybe I have something that is also, you know, casual listening. Because I didn't know. I was like, man, he listened to Jack Harlow. What do I have for a Jack Harlow fan? I don't know if I can.
Listen, you got something. I'm gonna boost you even more.
Okay, I say something here.
I just had a thought process of like who I could see you collaborate with. Now, you may want to take notes on this, you may not. I love, first of all, I love that lo-fi.
That lo-fi
beat and vibe. I love that. I think that is super sexy. I love like a haunting R&B melody. Like, okay, if there are three people who I could see you with right now off the top of my dome, collaborate with Halle Bailey, because the clips that she is putting out in regards to like her sound sonically, I am so drawn to that. I don't know if you get a chance to just listen to her sounds. She hasn't come out with anything yet, but like the stuff she's working on is mind-blowing. So Halle Bailey, Black or Six Lack. Well, that's what I call it. And I could see you working with
he's trying so hard to get people to call him Black.
I get Black. It's Six Lack for me. It's Six Lack. It's Six Lack to the day I die, but I will never call him that to his face. Yeah. And I could see you working with Big Crit.
Oh, from the South. Yeah, you know, like, I reached out to Big Crit to get on this album initially. I was trying on It's All Right, It's Okay. There's a open verse in the second half. I ended up kind of making a guitar solo thing, but I was like, I reached out to Big Crit, Bun B.
Yes.
Zero is a hometown favorite. You know, I don't know if he's as popular, but I kind of want like a Texas legend or a Southern legend on there. And I hadn't been signed yet, so I didn't really have the connects, but I would love, I'd love to do a track with one of those rap legends.
Listen, I could see it. I can see it. I'm just gonna put that out there. I have a tendency to call these things out and then they actually happen.
Okay.
Okay.
This is recording, so we got
receipts. I only ask for a small fee of $5.99.
Got the receipts.
But when this happens, I'm super thrilled for you. Like, I know it will. I can just, I don't know. I feel that coming, that energy coming from you, and I know it will happen. And I have manifested so many, like, things for folks. I really stand by this. I'm like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Right place.
I'm putting that on you. I'm putting that on you. What is your process been in creating, like, this album in terms of, like, I feel like everyone has their own length of time. Everybody, every artist, every performer is different. So how long did it take you to build this piece?
So I think I tried to, in between albums, so technically it's been like 3 years since I released my last album. I just try to live life in between albums. I'm not one of the musicians that's like constantly in the studio going every day, you know, let's knock it out. I'll make 200 songs and pick the 10 best. You know, I just, when I'm ready, when I have something to say, I know it, and I go. And so once that happened here, like, I went back home for about 45 days. And in that time, you know, I had everything written. And then once I got in the studio, I had like 10 demos, and my boy Philip Odom, he helped me sort of put some gloss on it and produce those tracks up. Yeah, made it all come together, added a lot of live instruments. And that was only about like 7 or 8 studio days once I brought it to him. So,
Wow. So you take the Sade approach to releasing music is what I'm hearing. You're just like, you're like, what's that phrase that Beyonce used? Come back, F it up, leave, come back, F it up, leave again, or something like that. So that's what you're giving. You're giving Sade. You just fly off the map. What does that in-between time look like? Like, what does, so first album, 3 years. What are you doing 3 years?
Yeah. So it's funny. I have to create to make myself feel better. And so if I'm happy, I don't really want to go record anything, because I'm like, I'm trying to soak up that happiness, enjoy life, you know. But when something goes wrong and I feel almost like confused aside or disrupted, then I need to really get my feelings out and express myself, you know, to figure out how I'm feeling. So if I didn't record in 3 years, that means I was doing okay. You know, I was, okay. And actually in that time, actually what happened, I made a movie. So I thought I was done. Yeah.
Okay. Light flex alert, everyone. Light flex. Because none of you could ever. That's what I
mean. I was going to give up on music. And I was like, what if I love writing? That's my favorite part of music. I was like, what if I've been writing the wrong things? Instead of writing songs, I should write a screenplay. So I wrote this screenplay and I tried to get it made. Nobody would help me. So I made it with my apartment building. Just a few people in my apartment building for like about $5,000, kind of everybody invested a little bit. And it didn't do big numbers. We didn't get our dreams made of like getting into Sundance Film Festival or anything, but it is on Amazon Prime. It is streaming.
Oh, you, yeah. let me get my purse down. And you did not tell me this the last time we spoke, sir. The nerve.
In my head, they're two different ideas. You know what I mean? It's like I got me trying to make a film career happen, and then me trying to.
What's it called? I'm watching tonight.
It's called Let Me Be Frank. And it's basically inspired by when I moved to LA, my apartment manager was this older Italian dude from the Bronx.
Yeah.
And like when I first met, I was like, oh, the Bronx, you know, where hip hop was born.
BX. Yeah.
He wasn't that type of Bronx guy. He was like, no, that's not what I know it for. I remember, you know, when they was putting graffiti all around the city. And And I was like, what? And so we ended up moving into that house. And I mean, he was my landlord for a couple of years. Hmm. And I got to know him a little better and got to understand him a little more. And so I thought there was a little simple movie that could be made there. About kind of two unlikely.
Excuse me. There's nothing simple about making a film.
it was hard. It was probably the hardest thing I ever did.
Wow. What? Okay. I really do want to like keep on like the album, but and I'll get there. But like, what else are we missing? What instruments do you play?
No, see, that's why I was like, maybe I should be doing music, because I just like writing, I think, is my gift. I don't play, you know, I can play keyboard, like, you know, I can make, if you give me enough times, I can record a nice piano piece, but yeah, live, I probably wouldn't be too great. But no, I like writing, and so I've written songs, I've written screenplays, I wrote an article about just like the music scene in Abilene.
What's that called?
That's on Plato3rd.com. I kind of have them all broke out there. I got a music section, a film section, and a writing section. I don't have much in the writing, but
how did I miss this? I guess I got so caught up in like the videos and everything. I need to go to the website. I'm going to see all of this. Okay.
It's a radio station. It's supposed to, you know, music first. It makes
Wow. So all of these pieces come together to craft these amazing like skills in the writing. I'm super impressed with writers. Like, I'm not going to disrespect this singer like this, but one of the things, when my friends be like, I love Keisha Cole. And aww. I love Keisha. Let me tell you. I love Keisha Cole, but there's been some lyrics that I've been like, okay, that's a little like, like just direct. Woke up this morning, put 2 feet on the ground. I looked to the right and looked to the left. I said,
those real lyrics? Those ain't real lyrics.
No, but there's some songs that have that kind of simplicity to it that, you know,
we all got different gifts, you know. Hers is her pipes. I mean, she got a voice like no. Like, if absolutely. I could do that, I wouldn't write either. I'd be like, y'all write, I'll sing it.
Yeah.
I don't got that. So I don't write.
I apologize, Ms. Cole. Please don't ruin me. I just there was this few songs that I was like, oh, that's I'm gonna edit this out. This is fine. I love writers. What's funny is I made fun of that. And then like, I remember when I've done some music, you know, and I've done some writing, and it's a skill, and it takes time, and you have to like do it over and over again, sometimes for hours. And some folks it comes through naturally. But it's a true gift that I want. I've kind of secretly always just wanted to like develop. Does it just come to you naturally, or like, do you also, it feels like it's a different case in whatever field you're in, and it's a case-by-case situation, right?
Yes. For me, it was really, really difficult to begin, but at this point, like, I got my 10,000 hours, you know what they say, and at this point, if I'm feeling something, like, it's hard for me to write if I'm not feeling something, but if I'm feeling something, I've got a good job, like, being in tune with myself and putting that on the paper. When I'm inspired, I'll write songs pretty quickly. But the screenplay, for example, that's kind of why I wanted to challenge myself to do that. That was super hard. You got to write 100 pages. You're just looking at a blank page. And so what I told myself to get through that, I was like, if I can write one page per day, I can finish this in 3 months, you know, 90 days. And so my goal is just one page per day. I think it took, I can't remember, it was like 130 days. So I didn't even do that. I think I averaged that. I was getting like half a page per day. So it was very hard to do that. But songs at this point have been a little easier for me. But yeah, like writing is hard and it's not fun. Like at the end, it's like, oh, that's amazing. I'm so glad I got that out. But I've never been excited to write.
You know? I feel like, yeah. And I think people miss that piece of the craft. It's just like, y'all, like, don't get caught up in the glam of this. Don't get caught up in the glitz. This is real, like, challenging thing. Yeah, it's a lot to go through. And I feel like it gets sometimes can get overshadowed by the glam and glitz of it all. And I'm just like, y'all, this is, like, you have to really, Cicely Tyson said it, go learn your craft. Go find your motivations. So not even outside of what your craft is, you know? Go explore nature, go see a theater show, go learn piano, go learn Spanish. You know, there's so many things that contribute to those skills. And like, I've always felt like people had to be well-read in order to write good music. Like, because, like, the metaphors, the words, like Mariah Carey, I'd be like, girl, did you open the dictionary here? Like, did you just find, did you go to the thesaurus? Like, where did you find that word?
like, yeah. So Mariah Carey's one of the ones you appreciate the writing ability.
Yes, because her wordplay is hilarious. It's funny. No, I love SZA's writing. I love Solana's writing.
Oh, yeah, SZA. Yeah, there you go. When you asked me last time, you know, dream collaborators, that's why SZA's up there, because I kind of feel like, yeah. I mean, the way she even floated on that Doja Cat track, you know.
Where did you find that? Her arrangements. The words that she chooses to use. I saw a breakdown of Broken Clocks is one of my favorites to this day. And I saw a breakdown of it the other day on YouTube, and I was like, oh God, I had it right, but I had it wrong. Like, I mean, I wonder where people find that. What space is that? Like, what part of the multiverse is that? Like, which layer of existence or what plane is that? Cause I'm just like, how did you develop that? Like, and that's what I love about you, is just like, I'm just like, where do you go to? Where do you tap into?
Some sort of consciousness thing. They said, like, people think of the word genius as like something you label someone. I think it was this writer, Elizabeth Holmes or something. I don't remember her name, but she was talking about, we need to think of genius as like almost like this higher power that can reach all of us. And it's not, and when somebody's genius, that's somebody who's tapped into sort of this unconscious realm that you know, can bless us at any time, as long as we're open, you know, and we're kind of the vessel for this other thing to speak through us. So I think like, it's like that a lot of times, you know, being well-read, that means also being open to learning things. So a lot of times I think it's just something, you know, what are people in tune with? I think that's a bigger question. Is it something we all have? You know, we're all made out of stardust. We're quiet and meditate, are we tapping into like the thing that bonds us all together? I'd like to think of that. You know, maybe someone would say it's God speaking through you, you know, whatever it is. I think we're all connected in some way, and that's when real artists can tap into that. We can feel it through the music, or the film, or the art. Whatever
it's the storytelling. I think I love a good storytelling in a song.
Yeah,
you know, and it doesn't have to be A B C D E F G. You know, it can be A B A A A C.
Jump around a little bit.
Yeah, you know, fragmented. I think that's one of the things I love about Bjork. You know, it's just like, damn, girl. Okay, I see you. I hear you. All is full of love. Thank you.
Trying to go back to, because when I was in the car with my other coach today, and he's listening to like Jack Harlow, I'm like, I want my music to reach everybody. You know what I mean? I want to connect with everybody. I mean, if anything, it's the people like my parents that are like, maybe not, don't have the time to really deep dive in music. They're just turning the radio on, or maybe they're at the gym and like music's coming from the speaker. Like I want to reach everybody with some sort of like, you know, positive kind of vibe. And so you're trying to think about how I can do that. You know, York, for example, maybe that's a little bit more experimental or artistic than it wouldn't be for everybody. But I think I do, even though I cherish storytelling and everything. You talk about doing the twerk songs. Like, you know, for me, reaching people is important. So I think maybe a goal of mine or a challenge moving forward is like try to find some way to get to all types of people. You know what I mean? Whether they're in the mood for you know, story time, or whether they're in the mood to have fun and
to go, pop your go butt. Crazy.
Yeah, Prince. I think Prince was probably the best at that, man. Like Prince, you know, 1999, or like he was talking about God most of all the time. You know, let's go crazy. It's like, while we're here and we're alive, let's enjoy it. But it's also, nobody's paying attention to that. They just, you know, doing the robot or whatever they was doing back in the 80s. You know, so I'd love to reach that level somehow. I think that's the hardest level.
Well, I think you're well on your way. I think you're already on the path. You're on the journey. I'm gonna boost you till I can't boost you no more, because you're already everything you sent my way is already on air on the Numbers FM. So y'all can always check out Plato the Third stuff on the Numbers FM. And actually, we just started a Mixcloud account. So now we can individualize music and playlists. So I'm already thinking, like, let me put your album on the Mixcloud. And then people want to, like, they can just come and search you individually and, like, just listen to your stuff. I'm all about it. I'm gonna do it. You're inspiring me. You did a performance at South by Southwest. Yes. And so I'm always intrigued at that part of performance, is the live performance, is the connection right directly to the audience, you know? And I'm always interested in knowing, what is your feeling when you're on the stage? What is there something shift? I was a professional dancer in my former career. And I was saying to my friend the other day over lunch, I was like, you know, I was the person that'll kind of dance in the back, or I've never been a front person, but once the lights come on, once I'm on that stage, honey,
you run to the front, whether you're supposed to or not.
You're my dream. I mean, I'm giving 5, 6, 7, 8 full out with feeling. Like it's that's what I live for.
I'm alive.
Yeah. Is that a similar experience for you?
You know, it was a lot of fun performing South by. I think for me, I was, you know, my songs, dancing, I guess I can imagine being free and lively. My songs were kind of heavy, and seeing a lot of the people, it was in Texas, it was in Austin, so a lot of people in the crowd that I grew up with, my mom was there. So doing a song like Sorry If I Dissed You, you know, with my mom there, and it's really about kind of saying sorry I dissed you to Texas and leaving all my friends behind and my family. Mm-hmm. So it was also emotional, you know, similar to probably how you felt, but in a different way. It was it was heavy, and it was cathartic at the same time to really get those out, but also fun. You know, we mixed up the set and had a little bit of everything. But I think for me, the thing I took away most was, you know, realizing that I'm going to feel those things when I perform those songs, no matter if I wrote them 3 years ago, 5 years ago, when those songs come on, all the feelings are going to rush back. So
yeah, it's authenticity. You know, it's really interesting that you say that about, like, that sorry if I dissed you, like, the Texas, and sorry that, you know, you felt like you left, like, a community there. When I left D.C., D.C. was not the place to be when I was growing up. Like, you didn't stay there because, I mean, there was
dangerous.
I was a statistic. I was a statistic. I was not supposed to make it to 18. The HIV AIDS epidemic was everywhere. You know, it was just, you didn't get out of DC. If you didn't get out of DC, you never were going to get out of DC.
What age did you leave? 18?
Yeah, I left. Yeah. As soon as I graduated high school, I was like, deuces. I was like, I'm out of here. No. I went to college in New York. I went to school in New York.
How'd you feel about that? I mean, probably felt the same way. I feel like I'll save my own life in some way, maybe
yeah.
A different reason, but you were probably just happy to get out happy to be in New York, but it's also a transition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was fleeing. I honestly was fleeing. I had this mindset that if I didn't get out, then I was never going to get out. And I needed that. And my mom passed. And then those memories that I didn't want to resurface, I was like, I'm definitely not coming back now because I'm not emotionally ready. But now here I am getting ready to move back to DC after I've had these experiences, after I've done growing and lived a full majestic life. And I want to return and in pride and in wanting to mentor and wanting to give back. And so I've never, you know, condemned anyone for leaving. And then, you know, and doing what they needed to do and exploring their lives and learning. And then, you know, you get to a place, I feel like at some point you do get to a place where you're like, I could make, even if it's temporary, even if it's just for a visit, just to return and reach back out, you know, and say, hey, y'all, like, this is what I was going through. This is what I was feeling. I had to. Is that something similar that you think you might delve into?
100%. That was kind of always the goal for me. I had a song on my album. My first word was Juice. So I miss my friends. It was kind of like the precursor to Sorry If I Dissed You. Anyway, there I said I left the city just to give me something pretty and bring it home. And the idea was always like there was nothing for us there. But I felt like it was on me to kind of like find whether it was knowledge or whether it was opportunity and sort of bring that back to our community in order for people to ideally not have to leave, you know, not have to leave their family and their friends to want to have the life or the opportunity they wanted. That's always been my goal. You know, I'm getting older. It's getting harder to potentially achieve that. But I think you have a responsibility to share your experiences with those like
It's no disrespect to the where you come from either. It's and I never want to like on DC, you know, like ever. I hadn't fully grasped what all was happening. You know, there was just so many pieces. So I never want to sound like I'm disrespecting DC or anywhere where anyone's from. That was just kind of my thing. Is like I was running. I was running for a really long time. And you run like when you don't have like when you have a single parent, you know, who's no longer with you, you know, it's like, well, shoot, I'm running around. Like figuring it out by myself, like, and I've had.
Good. Now I was saying you need that sort of alternate experience to be able to reflect and you know contrast and compare. Like I didn't know how Texan I was until I got to LA. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so you kind of need that to I think figure out who you really are and identify. Like,
yes. I was talking about Fernette yesterday. I was like, I was really the pull up queen. Like, if we had beef, it was gonna be it. Like, I just came from like the era where people showed up to other people's high schools with bags a lot, and I never realized how like not aggressive, but I mean, I just wasn't here for the shit. I wasn't. I just wasn't.
DC and you.
It was the DC.
I like that everywhere.
I just, this is just such a great, great conversation. I'm so glad we're doing this again. What's some of your favorite collaborations on this album? You had Lil B on there.
Did that? That was important. Just you know, for the way he like got through to us in Texas. Just my group of friends is around the time Wonton Soup came out. He had like a beacon of really positive energy. And I know some of his songs are more silly and loose, but he's, you know, I talk about Prince, but honestly, Lil B is another one to where you can turn up and get silly to Lil B, but he has some songs that are really, like, really mind blowing. Like, Age of Information is incredible. No Black Person is Ugly is like a beautiful, heart wrenching, earnest song. And he does this, he's super smart and he knows what he's doing. And so, yeah, having him on the album was like a dream come true. And then just a lot of local talent from my hometown that I've always wanted to make songs with that I never got to. 333 Wish, she sings on a song called Never Get Away. Like her voice is beautiful. Yeah. And she's just like some of the most talented people I know, you know, are just the most undiscovered people across the street that I grew up with. So for me on the album, I did get Lil B, but I wanted to tell people like these people on TV aren't more talented than your friend across the street. They just got more opportunity, got more people, you know, in their corner. But you know, all of us have that light in us, and you know, we can make some really special stuff. You know, opportunity. So yeah, most of the collabs are all local, you know, hometown, homegrown.
I love that. I have told people that all the time, where people are like, oh my God, Britton, you can sing so well. I'm like, oh, listen, honey. Like, yeah. I'm cute, but trust me, I know some people. I know some people. But that's great. I didn't, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to ask. Is there a lot of talent coming out of Abilene? Am I saying it right? Abilene.
I would say so. You know, we don't have, like I said, we're 3.5 hours away from any sort of main market. So we don't have a spotlight shown on us. I felt like that was my job to kind of almost showcase everybody on this album. So like if people like this album, it's because, you know, there's a lot of talent in Abilene, because every song either has somebody playing an instrument or you know, obviously me, I'm rapping or giving vocals, and they're from this town. So it's all like the, you know, the Dungeon family back in the day in Atlanta, pushing out Outkast, Goody Mob.
Goody Mob.
Yeah, this was an Abilene Dungeon family record.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any upcoming performances at all, or?
At some point, I'm on a tour. I think what I'm hearing from the DIY indie community is it's really hard right now. Like, gas is so high.
Yeah.
People are putting all this investment in touring, and then they get COVID on the second show, where they got to cancel the touring. And then a lot of bands are getting broken into, also, I'm hearing.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a tough time. Right now, my vinyl isn't available till November. So right now, it's just pre-orders. I think once I get my vinyl, then maybe it would make more sense for me to go, you know, tour town to town and have something to sell.
You got to come to Portland. Yeah. Call me, let me know. I'll call whoever I need to call to get you out here in Portland, because I can't miss you. I'll come back from D.C. Unless you're going to D.C.
I'll go to D.C. The way that, I mean, this label is really great, and their artists do, you know, get to do shows everywhere, so. As long as, you know, I still got to figure out how I got to pay my bills, you know, as long as I can go, you know, drive across the country for a month or two, you know, I'll be D.C., I'll be Portland. But yeah, we'll see. I do know we got a remix dropping September 1st. Oh. So that'll be the next release. We got a J-Sum, who's also on my label. She's going to remix Heaven. And we got an animated video for that, which is really, really dope. Okay. And then maybe, we'll drop
something.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep pushing it out there. And just want people to hear the record, you know.
Okay. One final question. What would Plato III tell himself at age? Where are we at in age? How many years young are you now?
29.
You talking about some getting older. Stay out of my face. Oh, get out of my life. You're talking about, I'm getting older. John, you is not old.
That's a milestone.
Yes. What would you tell yourself at 19 from 29? Anything? Anything that you would offer?
19, I was in San Antonio, my first year of college. I had actually just met my lady friend. That's where I met her. We have been together ever since, 10 years. So 19 to 29. Yeah. I would tell my 19-year-old self, you know, you found a good one. Stick with her. Your next 10 years are going to be great. A lot of the reasons are going to be because she's by your side, and everything's going to be okay. I mean, if I could tell my 19-year-old self that I was going to be doing interviews with Numbers FM, radio interviews on community radio and have a music label, I would have said no way, you know. So I appreciate that question. It helps me to get perspective on a lot of my dreams have come true. People are listening to my music, asking me questions about it. And at the same time, I do have love in my life that I fostered from a long time ago. So I am blessed. And if I can just figure out, you know, how does money thing work in America, then the rest of my life is pretty
good. You and me both. Yeah. I'll tell you how it works. Scamming, fraud, scamming, robbery, lying.
My mom always told me I could do anything I put my mind to. And I'm thinking, I believe her, but the one thing I can't seem to do is make money. I got to figure out how, you know, that's the one thing. So I got to scam, I got to fraud.
I don't believe
in this crypto stuff. I saw that crash. Good thing I avoided that.
Good person. Where? Nah. You got to stop caring about people. Lose your empathy. Lose your sympathy. Yeah. Lose your compassion.
I wouldn't mind being rich, but I don't want to be a rich person. But I don't know if you can do that.
It's crazy, right? Because like I'm in this space where I'm like, money just comes and goes.
Yeah.
Right. I just cannot see myself losing community over paper, over something that honestly, in my spirit, just I'm like, this isn't real. You know, it's a tool, It gains you access to things, things that I just feel like you should not, like things like Medicare, schooling. Like, why do I need this? It just shouldn't be like that in my world. But you need it, right? And for some of us, I feel and understand it just takes us longer. It just takes us longer. I think there's a lot of filtering out. One, you got to understand, for me, I had to understand, what do I want to do? What do I love? What I love is what I'm doing with you right now, you know? And what I have loved was dance, being in the art. I knew going into that, that was not going to be the most lucrative experience, even though you put out max effort. Yeah. And sometimes it takes longer. And I think the big piece is just not allowing others to make you feel any kind of way for not having a massive amounts of pieces of paper. Because the thing is, like, at the end of the day, if I die tomorrow, I can say I lived a majestic life. Yes. I can say I lived a fulfilled life. Yes. I'm not taking the Benjamins with me to my grave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I focus on, like, you feed my soul. That's been my priority, feed my soul. Yeah. And that, a lot of times, had nothing in common with, you know, giving paper.
Yeah. Are you going to say I made a lot? Are you going to say I worked hard when I die? Like, you're not going to say that. How did I make you feel? Yeah. Did you smile? Did we have a good time? It's the memories you create in these spaces. I get it. Money is... I, too. Listen. Yeah. I got quoted 20 racks for moving from a moving company yesterday. And I said, okay, girl, well, no, like, not today.
That's some nerve.
Yeah. They're hauling you in a semi and it's like yours. So I was like, oh, yeah. So I went to U-Haul and, you know, there was like 3 stacks and I was still like, you know, and I was like, you know, but I was like, it's going to come. It's going to go. You know, it is in part education and knowing the right time in investments and saving and all that stuff, but like,
a lot of it, you know, is out of our control too. It's generational.
Yes, and that's the other piece.
Yeah, trying to overcome that, and also, you know, like for me, I'm not even talking. You know, I don't need to be anybody. I don't need to be, you know, raking it in. But just in terms of healthcare, you know, or having, mm-hmm. This might sound like a flex. I would like to own a home one day. You know what I mean? These are just my simple, these are just my simple, you know, normal sort of goals. Have healthcare, own a home. I'd like to have a kid that has quality education. I mean, that could be public, but, you know, the private school around here, bro, $30,000 a year. Like, what? $30,000 a year, kindergarten through 12? And that's like, that's the school, and I looked it up. Man, that's the school that all these artists are going to. Like, I'm not gonna out anybody, but a lot of people are able to go to these schools, and they have 12 years of art training, and, you know, one to give. I guess
I'm gonna send that your way.
No,
gonna happen.
I don't need all that, but yeah.
But listen, the home ownership, yes.
Give me a home and healthcare, and, you know, I'll shut my mouth. And I'll be happy with everything.
I hear you. All I want to do is sit on my wraparound porch in my overalls with my lemonade that is spiked.
There you go.
And watch my dog play in the yard, because I'm not bringing no kids into this world. I ain't.
Every day, yeah. I'm like, are you sure
you
want to do that? But
yeah. Oh, wow. Listen.
100%. Too much to ask. A spiked lemonade. It's not too much to ask.
It's not too much to ask. That's what I'm saying. It's like, am I really requesting a lot from you? Universe? Environment?
Put it out there.
Where can people find you? I'm so excited. I can't wait to get on the website. I can't wait to see Let Me Be Frank. I cannot wait.
It's no Insecure. But did you ever watch The Adventures of an Awkward Black Girl?
I did.
Yeah, for real, she's super inspiring to me. Yeah. And so I know I'm gonna love rap shit, just the idea of it, you know.
Yeah, I would like to know your thoughts on that. Yeah. I really truly would.
I really love Issa. She's super inspired. But yeah, PlatoTheThird.com spelled out. You know, and there's a few tabs on there for music. I guess that film's still on there. And yeah, you can see my socials as well. I don't know what's happening with Instagram. You know, everything's changing. I don't even know. If there's gonna be social media in a few years, but those are on there right now. I don't even like being on the internet, if I'm being real. But anyways.
Tell me about it. Well, this has been, again, we made magic happen again. And it's recording. If it don't happen, if this video, I'm gonna let you get off.
Don't even
stay on, and I'm gonna get my director and be like, listen, how do
I press the right button?
I'm not losing this time. I'm not losing this. But I just want to say this. I know we don't know each other like that, but I'm proud of you. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing this space and this time with me, offering this energy, and just coming back to do the re-interview. I'm grateful. I wish you nothing but the best. Please continue to let us know how we can be here and support, and whatever it is, you got it.
100%. No, thank you for having me again, Brandon.
Heck yeah. We have performance events too. I'm a book you for summer series.
if I don't tour, I can always just drive up to Portland. I've done it before. I gotta check out that vegan spot you recommend.
Yes, yes. The by and by.
Yeah, I'm ready. But yeah, you as well. I can't wait for you to get back to DC. Show me new tricks you learned traveling the globe, and bring it all back.
Fantastic. Congratulations. The album is The Devil Has Texas. Y'all go stream, go support, go check it out. It's 1000% worth it.
Oh, that's pretty good. You work in radio.
I'm talented.